Now will you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we continue our studies in this great epistle, and we come to verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. There are two principles here, first of all, in the same way, we'll look at that, and then as you live with your wives, we'll look at that. Then there are two commands with reasons given. First is, be considerate, reason, as with the weaker partner. And then the second one is, treat them with respect, or honor them. The reason is because they are heirs together with you of the gracious gift of life. And then there's a final challenge, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The reason is put in the original with the consideration. For instance, this is how it reads literally, husbands, likewise, living together with your wives according to knowledge as with a weaker vessel, giving honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers are not hindered. So let's begin with the two principles. First of all, in the same way. Husbands, in the same way. Likewise. Like what? Well, you will have to go back to the introduction to this section in chapter 2 and verse 13. Submit yourselves, this is to everyone, for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men. And so everything that follows is for the Lord's sake, for Jesus' sake. Chapter 3, verse 1, wives in the same way. Likewise, for the Lord's sake, for the same reason. See, when you become a Christian, you become under new management, you say, Jesus is Lord, I want now to live to please the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he want me to do? Well, how would Christ have us live? Well, we've been learning he wants me to submit to the state authorities, to pay my taxes, to keep the laws. So I do it for his sake. Second, he wants me to submit to those in my job who have authority over me, even if they're unfair. I have to be like Christ. And then wives, in the same way, submit to your husband. Not even for your husband's sake, ultimately, but for Jesus' sake. Even if your husband's a non-Christian and opposes your faith, just present before him a silent mouth and a gentle, quiet spirit. Now, husbands, in the same way, for Jesus' sake, there are some things that you have to do. So, husbands, the way we treat our wives and live with our wives is of great concern to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is watching. What does he see? And what does he hear in your home? That's the first principle. For Jesus' sake, we are to pay attention. Secondly, as you live with your wives, well, of course, that's what marriage is all about, isn't it? Living together. It's the very nature of marriage. We go back to the beginning. Whenever Jesus was asked about marriage, back to the beginning, Genesis. When Paul was asked about marriage, back to the beginning, Genesis, the first marriage, the creation of Adam and then of Eve. Of one, he made two. And then of two, he made one again. And therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one, one flesh. So that the union, says the scriptures, between a husband and wife is even closer in that bond than the union that they previously had with their parents. Now, you could hardly imagine a union closer than you would have with your parents, because you are flesh and blood.
And when you get married, you're becoming united to somebody who was not your flesh and blood. But the Bible says the union you now create is a closer bond, a mystery perhaps, but a closer union than that you even had with your mother, in whose womb you grew and from which you came. So obviously, as you live with your wives, and it's the very reason for marriage, not only the very nature of marriage, but the very reason for marriage, to live together. Adam was lonely, was he not? Even in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. He had God above him in a perfect relationship, but I am not being facetious or blasphemous when I say he could not cuddle God. He had the animals beneath him, with whom also he had a perfect relationship, but no animal could be his confidant or his counterpart. And God said, "It isn't good that he shall be alone. I will give him a helper, meet for him, fit, appropriate, corresponding, the same." He was in a way incomplete until he had his wife. Someone to love who would also love him back. Someone to talk to who would talk back to him. Someone to talk things over with. Someone to play with. Someone to pray with. Someone to work with. Someone to sleep with. Someone to return to after a short absence, and find welcoming arms, someone to worship with. It is unthinkable to speak about biblical marriage and then live separately. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. By the way, we hear about marriage enrichment, and how those of us who've been married for some time might reconsider our lifestyle and our relationship, and how might we enrich our marriage. Well, here's one way. Consider Adam when he was all alone. What did he have? What benefits did he have? What blessings did he have? But what did he lack that God said it isn't good? And then consider the difference that Eve made in his life and that he made in her life. And make sure that you have those differences in your marriage. For those, you were brought together. Don't you think you'll find it has to do with communication and consultation on companionship and mutual comfort, and praying together, and worshipping together, and together, and together, and together, and together? Of course. We have invented a category that we call sometimes legal separation, so that a person may say in answer to a question, "Are you single or married?" "Well, I'm married, but separated." And we know that maybe sometimes we have to have that, but really in the biblical sense, there's no such thing. Because married people, by very definition, by very nature of what marriage is, by very reason for why it was given, are to live with their wives and their husbands. Now, there are some people who marry who perhaps should not, because they cannot live with their spouse. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is talking about apostleship, and he draws their attention to the fact that he would have the right to get married, but he has waived that right for the sake of the gospel. Now, Peter, he says, exercised that right. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter was a married man when he came to Christ. That's one reason why. But now, Mrs. Peter traveled with him when he went on his missionary tours. But the Apostle Paul chose to be single. Some have married and then left their wife at home all the time. We're talking in the Sunday evenings about the Great Awakening of the 18th century and John Wesley and George Whitefield. And I'm going to say a little about their marriages tonight, because I've been asked, were they married, were they happily married, and so on. Charles Wesley also got married, lived with his wife thereafter, first in Bristol for many years and then in London. Whereas John Wesley and George Whitefield travelled and left their wives for the most part at home in England. John Wesley went all over the British Isles, travelling 250,000 miles on horseback. George Whitefield spent many months in the United States, well then called America, because he came seven times and was a great preacher, but one wonders if he ever should have got married. John Berridge, who of course was single and another preacher, said, "Marriage has sadly crippled Charles and would have done the same by John and George if God had not sent them a brace of ferrets," which was his comment about their wives. And there's some justification for that, although the historians argue about how bad really was Mrs. Wesley. Maybe that's why John was away most of the time. But, you know, there are some people who really ought to, and I speak to single people now, before you get married, consider whether you are prepared to live with your wife. Because that's what God intends of married couples to do. Now, I know sometimes that people in the military, as we know in the news at the moment, have to leave family behind. We know that sometimes even people in the great corporations have to travel. And I don't want to stop meddling, but I think some of you men, you need to make sure that it isn't too long, too often, for too long stretches. Also, that you have the right to call your wife on the telephone every night and have a good long conversation with her. Some marry, but live as if they have not got married. Their wife is a housekeeper, to clean and cook, a nanny to raise the children, but not a friend, not a confidant, not a comforter. Some men prefer any company than that of their wife, and any place than that of home. Husbands, brothers, that ought not to be. We should not boast, we live our separate lives, you know. We were not meant to. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Proverbs 27:8, like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Once again, let me be controversial. Some missionaries need to consider that, because sometimes missionaries have subjected their wives and families to the most terrible, inhospitable conditions. And they need to be sure it's right to do so. And others have said, well, having spent years learning the language, years learning cross-cultural adaptation, having raised support from all these churches, and having spent a few years in this place to which we assured everybody we were truly called for the rest of our lives, we're now coming home. Why? Because of the children's education. And I think some of these questions need to be faced ahead of time, because the Lord Jesus said, some have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of Christ's sake. What did he mean? The kingdom of God's sake. What did he mean? He meant some have turned aside from their right to get married and asked God for the grace to be single, because that is the only way that they can fully fulfill the calling to which they believe they have been called. Like Jesus himself. and like the Apostle Paul. These two great men, the one the Son of God would have loved to have had that comfort. But they decided that because of the work to which the Lord had called them, in Jesus' case, the cross at 33 years old, in the Apostle Paul's case, traveling here and there and being imprisoned and beaten and shipwrecked and the rest, it would be better to be single and single-minded. As you live with your wives, here are the commands. Be considerate, because she is the weaker vessel, the weaker partner. Now each must consider the other with care and comfort, as we've been saying. But husbands, it would seem, have a special responsibility to our wives. It's not easy to define what is meant by the weaker partner. In some ways, our wives are stronger than we husbands. They certainly are equal intellectually and often our superior. Certainly spiritually, they are the equal of the husband and often superior. In some respects, they may even be physically stronger. One is amazed sometimes at the endurance of some women. And yet we all know that men and women, by creation and God's providence and intention, are, as we use the up-to-date phrase, the current phrase, wired differently. And we hold two separate championships in sports occasions and so forth. And the husband is to be protective toward his wife. The King James Version says that we should live with our wives according to knowledge. The New American Standard Bible says in an understanding way. That's correct. So therefore we husbands have a duty before the Lord Jesus Christ to understand women as much as we can. I know that there have been songs that said, who in the world can ever understand a woman, and so on. But the Bible says that we husbands have a duty to try, and our own woman, wife, in particular. We must learn about her childhood. We must learn about her teen years. We must learn about her relationship with her parents. We must learn about her fears. However strange or irrational they may seem to be, or without foundation to us, we must be considerate about that. We must learn about her dreams. We must learn about her hopes. We must learn, probably by practice, what it's like to have to look after little children for a whole day. I have never had an experience in my life more exhausting. I love them when they're just up here in my arms for a little while. But when they're clinging to you, when they can't be pacified, when they're yelling their heads off, banging their heads against the wall, throwing their food all over the place, and other horrors, all day long, it can be extremely tiring. And husband, we come home from the office and say, don't bother me, I've had a tiring day. What do you think she's had? We've to be considerate with our wives. We have to be understanding. We are to live with knowledge. We're to listen and learn and then act appropriately. We are to be considerate when the kids grow up and leave. The loneliness of a woman, the loneliness of a wife sometimes during those hours at home when the children are at home, but she longs for adult company. The greatest moment in the day is when husband comes home. And then he buries himself in the newspaper or the television and hasn't got time to talk. The only person she's had to talk to perhaps all day are the babies. The loneliness. Sometime after we arrived here, some months after, I was worried about our telephone bills. And I was getting more and more agitated because I knew my wife was on the telephone to her children in England. They were all in England then. And the minutes were ticking by. And eventually she put the phone down after I had made numerous signals. Like, then getting out dollar bills. Eventually, she took the hint and put the phone down. And I said to her, "Honey, do you know how much it costs to call England?" And she said, "I'm sorry," and turned away. And I suspected I had hurt her. So I went into the kitchen and went round to the front where I could see her face. And tears were running down her cheeks. And she very rarely cries. I felt devastated. I said, why are you crying? And she said, "The children are my friends. The children are my friends." She might as well have said, "They are my only friends. You took me away and I gladly came from the family and all my friends in England. And now I can't even telephone them without signals and signs and sharp words. And I just wish the big hole would open up in the kitchen and I could bury myself." We are so clumsy sometimes, so inconsiderate. We need to be considerate. Ephesians 5 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Supposing somebody asked your little boy who lives with you at home, "Dad, how much does Jesus love the church?" Would he say, "Well, I guess, like my dad loves my mom"? Or would he have a very different picture of Christ's relationship with the church? Be considerate as you live with your wives, as with the weaker partner, and respect them. Treat them with respect. Here's the second command. First, be considerate. Second, respect them. Honor them. Some husbands treat their wives disrespectfully. We can so easily be saints at church, gentlemen at work, but devils at home. Little courtesies don't come amiss. See what a Christian is. You see, you honor her, respect her as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. That is what a Christian is. Someone who has come alive, has received the gift of life. And received it by grace. Doesn't deserve to have been born again, brought to Christ, have spiritual life, but has by grace. He's an heir of something, heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Yes, because we know that as Christians, the best is always yet to be. At home with the Lord, better by far. An inheritance which is uncorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, prepared for us by the Saviour, who said, "In my house are Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." You'll come and inherit. The Holy Spirit, even given to us now, is only a down payment, an earnest, a foretaste, a little of the blessing that He has given to us in Christ, which we shall inherit one day. And when we marry in the Lord, we are heirs together. It's all one word in the Greek, heirs with you. Joint heirs, heirs together, co-heirs. And of course you will marry in the Lord single people, won't you? 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally joined together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has light with darkness? You want to be able to pray together. You want to be able to worship together. You want to be able to study the Bible together. You want to be able to fellowship around the Word together. As heirs together of the grace of life, what union! And if we are joint heirs, listen to me, of the greatest thing, which is eternal life, shouldn't we not be joint heirs of everything else? Some people, when they're married, either the husband or the wife talks about my house, or my money, or my nest egg, or my this, or my that. Shouldn't it be our? If we are heirs together, joint heirs of the gracious gift of life, of inheritance, and we're one union bond, do we ever talk about my rather than our? That your prayers be not hindered. Nothing will hinder your prayers together more than if there's a rift between you. And nothing will hinder your prayers, brother, husband, or mine, more than if I am not treating my wife right and you're not treating yours right. Not considering her, not honoring her. The Lord's arm is not short that it cannot save, said Isaiah, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God so that he doesn't hear you. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, wrote David, the Lord would not have heard me. There are many men who think they're pious because of their prayers, and God isn't listening to their prayers. He's listening to the sobs of their sweetheart who has been so cruelly and inconsiderately treated, dishonored. How with you and your sweetheart? Does she go to bed and cry? Does she turn away from the telephone and cry because you've been so mean? God forgive us. Some of us need to make a fresh start and say, Lord, help me. It was our wedding anniversary this past week, and I recalled when I studied this passage that once we were with the four children in the south of France on vacation in the summer. We were in a little campsite in a tent, six of us. That's an exercise in patience. And June and I went for a little meal together in the cheapest cafe that we could find because we were on a shoestring budget. And then we walked by the waterside and watched all the rich in their yachts, their gin palaces, as we used to call them, and their wonderful comings and goings, and their big limousines that came to take them off to the casinos and everything. And the jewels flashing. And then we walked back hand in hand and clambered into our tent. Got over the bodies of everyone who was sleeping or trying to sleep. We lay down. I was reflecting on it. And I was reflecting on the text which had been given to us on our wedding day, at our marriage, at our wedding service, by a godly old gentleman. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Heirs together of the grace of life. And I took my wife's hand and I said to her, I dined tonight with an heiress. I dined tonight with an heiress. Brother, sister, one day you'll dine together in the love feast in heaven. Have a foretaste of it. now. How can you get your wife to treat you as a king? Treat her as a queen. I dine today with an heiress. Let us pray. Our Father, we husbands know that the scriptures challenge us, that we have so often been absent when we should have been present. It's been all right for us away with the boys, and she's been left alone. Forgive us, O Lord, our inconsiderateness sometimes. We have not lived according to knowledge and understanding. Forgive us when we've been disrespectful and dishonorable to the one that, in a sense, we ought to put upon a pedestal of honor. Cleanse us from every spot and stain and every failure, and help us by your grace to do better and to live each day as Christ would have us live. And let our homes be a little colony of heaven where love is, for Jesus' sake. Amen.